Hey guys, welcome back to the show. This is the Nerd News Desk for Tuesday something. I forget what day. Anyway, it's 2020, I think. But we do have a special guest. Old School Dirt is hanging out with us today. He will be here so he can pop in from time to time. And if he's got anything to add, then he will be here to add that to the conversation. So anyway, we're just going to leave him there until he's got something to say. And we'll cut to him if that happens. So today we're talking about Battle Pug. Because I've talked about it here for several weeks that, I've been running out of things to watch. Of course, there's light shining. I've been running out of things to read. And so I was lamenting at Killens last week. And I talked on here that I thought about giving it a try. I know it's, humorous, or at least supposed to be. So I thought I would read it and give it a shot. So we will be talking about that, and then we also have the new comics this week. Previewsworld.com has the comics that are coming out tomorrow, so we will be taking a look at all of that stuff as well. So anyway, let's start with Battle Pug, because this is something I've kind of been looking forward to. Mike Norton, who I believe he was an artist on DC's 52, like that's where I think I remember him from, because I met him at a convention, and what he did was different from everybody else, who everybody uses like the big oversized paper, and he would do it small, like 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, turned sideways to lay out both pages, and then scan it in and ink. I believe he was scanning it in and inking digitally on top of that, so he was doing kind of a reverse version that other people do of working big for it to print small. He was working small to print big. It was, I don't know, weird. Anyway, seemed like a really nice guy years ago, so thought I'd give this book a shot because, like I said, I have been dropping so many comics lately. And with it being, Battle Pug, you can see that there's certainly, interesting comedic looking stuff going on some of these covers. With fake My Little Ponies, we got this mean little girl, this hand coming after the dog, this weird version of the dog. I don't know. It's supposed to be interesting. And then, of course, this main one that has this fake Conan guy riding the pug. So, I mean, it's just it's Battle Pug, and you've got this big dog. It should seem funny, right? But I do have some thoughts about that.
I don't think anybody cares.
Well, then why even have this show? I mean, that's the whole point of this show. You're right. Not a lot of people watch it, so I guess in a sense that's true, Dirt. Thanks for chiming in with that. That's been very useful. Yes, thank you. So glad you could throw that in there. But nonetheless, that's why we're here today, is to talk about some of this stuff. And here's the main... I don't want to dump Mike Norton, down the trash chute with a lot of other creators, but it's not that funny for being a book with a pug that's gigantic, that's being ridden on into battle. It's just really not that funny, and two, the pug doesn't really do a whole lot. He is a key part of the story, so to speak, but he doesn't, okay. So the main character is the fake Conan guy. All right. So Conan, he's a Kamundi, isn't he? A Kamundian is the race of whatever this barbarian is, which, confused the heck out of me because there's a small town in southern Illinois called Kamundi. And I had a friend who lived in southern Illinois, and the town going out of his town, Louisville, the main road was Kamundi Road because it went to Kamundi. So that was, I saw that name in there and like, well, that's weird. I wonder if Mike Norton grew up in maybe there's a small town wherever he grew up, Wisconsin or whatever, that was also Kamundi. Maybe Kamundi is, you know, somewhat normal name for small towns. I don't think so, but, you know, I mean, it just kind of is. But it's not a word you run across. So I figure, you know, I figure there's got to be a town or something named Kamundi in order for him to figure out that name, for him to use it, right? I mean,
I can see that.
Yeah, so there's got to be something to that. So I don't know, maybe I'll write to him. But the main problem I have is that, one, it's just not terribly funny. It's kind of vaguely amusing, but that's about as far as I would go, because there's not really a whole lot of fun. Okay, so it does open, and we have this... Oh, look, it's a guy who looks like Vladimir Putin, and he's got a hand puppet of an orange guy. The orange hand puppet is the mean ruler, and so the Putin guy, he's pulling the strings on him. And then he turns into, like, this werewolf bear. He's a werebear? I don't know what that is. And he's got, a sickle in his hand. It's his weapon, because he's Russian. So... It's supposed to be a Trump analog, which doesn't really even work. It doesn't, you know, they did a whole investigation into the Russian thing, and it wasn't a thing. So, and for him being this werebear, this werebear thing, you'd think it might come into play at some point. It's like kind of this, like, nifty, kind of cool thing that, I don't know, he's got to fight the instincts and whatever. Like, he doesn't turn into, a full-on bear. You know, because sometimes werewolf movies, it's a human, but the human turns into, like, a complete wolf. And then sometimes it's, like, Teen Wolf. You know, Teen Wolf, where he's just, like, you know, a regular dude. So he's but hairy. And so that's kind of what this is. It's Putin, but he turns into a hairy bear thing, which is... I mean, that's fine. I don't really have a problem with, having Putin be a werebear. I mean, that's, you know, okay. Fine in and yep. Of itself. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, so that's not a problem. The problem is that it's not funny. And so it doesn't add anything to the humor, which is... I feel like that's kind of a problem. Like, the point would be that you would do that because it's funny and it's not humorous. So that seems like a problem.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, so not having a humorous thing be humorous is, I don't know, I think an issue. And the characters in here, the problem is a lot of them, they kind of try to be interesting. And try to be funny in a way, but there's not a lot of funny stuff about them. Like, for instance, let's see here. Let me see if I can find it. There is this little girl, okay? See this little red-haired girl? All right. So that girl can control plants. And in fact, at one point, she grows plants out of the ground to talk to them. Now, you can see there are some words blurred out there because she... swears. So she's like this little 8-year-old girl, like a poison ivy, you know, from Batman. And she can control plants, and she swears all the time. Lots of bad words. But, like, that's the whole joke. Like, she doesn't make up new ones. They're not, like, you know, funny swear words. She's not mixing swear words with regular words in order to make things different. She's just a little girl that swears. And that's supposed to be funny.
Really?
Yeah. Like, that's the whole joke. The whole joke is just, hey, it's a little girl who swears. So, okay, whatever, fine. Then we get this lady. She apparently is immortal in the sense that she won't grow old and die. But she's not immortal in the sense that she could still be killed. If she were to get, you know, stabbed or shot or whatever, then she would still die. But she wears a magical suit of armor, and the magical suit of armor protects her, so she can't get injured while she's wearing the armor. So as long as she's got the armor on, then she will never get hurt, so therefore she will never die. So she's, you know, eternal in that sense. Which is, again, that's something interesting for the character, but again, it's something that they never do anything with. She's just kind of there. And it doesn't give anything to the story because it doesn't actually play into anything. All right. So issue two here, we've got these fake, My Little Ponies. Okay. So, I mean, fake My Little Ponies, right? I mean, that could be kind of humorous, right? I mean, sure. Why not? Fake My Little Ponies. And they have mean names. They're, let me see if I can find what some of them are. Cause it's like Snot, Rag, and trying to think what some of these are. The Forest is yours, Greg, Slam Prancer. So like Slam Prancer is the punk, one you can see that has, you know, punk spines, whatever. And the idea is that these ponies are, a gang. They're like a mean gang out in the forest. And so they, you know, instead of the cutie marks, they have these, you know, gaudy tattoos, like you would see on a bunch of bike riders, you know, whatever. Ring through the nose and the spiked hair. And one of them has kind of like the emo haircut, you know, coming over their face. So the little girl uses her plant powers and tries to kill them because they're going to rob them, because the horses are trying to rob the people. And so they then say, hey, we need a ride, so you'll be our ride. So we're going to ride on you horses. And if you do anything to piss us off, the little girl's going to kill you. So then they get to ride the horses to go on to their next destination. And that's the humor.
Really?
Yeah. That's it. That's the whole joke with that. And it doesn't come up again until they leave. When we'll get to that later. They find this town, and this town used to be run by pirates, and the pirates have now gone legal. So they're not killing anyone before. They're not killing any people like they used to be before. They're not robbing people. They're home of the Ham Ball. They're the Ham Ball. He calls himself the Ham Ball King. And so now that's the big trade. He talks about how infant mortality is almost non-existent now that, like, Jacob has left town or whatever. And so you're like, okay, that's interesting. Who's Jacob? Or Jerry, since you kicked Jerry out of town. Right. So you find out later in like some flashback side story thing in the back of one of these issues that Jerry liked to juggle babies and axes. I think, is that the end of? Nope, it's not this one. It's a different one. So he likes to juggle babies and axes, and they kicked him out of town because they don't want him to do that anymore now that they're going legit. And so now babies aren't dying in their town anymore. And that's the joke.
Really?
Yeah. So again, you know, like, I'm not a boomer, right? My parents were baby boomers. I'm Gen X. I don't know what came in between boomers and Gen X, whatever that generation was. I guess hippie and then 70s mellow dudes. I don't know. But I guess this just isn't my humor, because it's just like, oh, okay. So then, anyway, they're traveling on this journey because they get a note from this king, who is like this evil Krampus guy, I guess, had a nation of little elves, that did his like minion bidding. And they get a note from him saying he's still alive, so they go to check it out. But it turns out it's actually his wife, the Snow Queen. And the Snow Queen now has Putin as her, like, henchman guy. And his hands are gone. They've both been cut off because one had the puppet and the other had the sickle. So they both got cut off. And so So now he's got candy canes stuck in the stumps. But that doesn't really come into play. Like, he doesn't, like, at no point is he using, like, they got, you know, like, candy cane hook on the end. You would think that he'd be, like, grabbing stuff or climbing with them or, you know, whatever. No, they're just there. That's the humor.
Really?
Yeah. So, okay, so anyway, we'll go on to the next one. With number three here. And in number three, so the little girl, she tries to kill the ponies, then tells them that they're going to work for her now. So they come to work for him. There's Putin with the candy cane arms that never do anything. He's there with the wolves. There's the Snow Queen. Okay, so that's, all right, great. She has some device. No one really knows what it is. It turns out that it's a key that opens a door. And so when our barbarian guy, he finally, you know, wakes up and comes to, and she ends up knocking him right back out. So I guess it was just like a time waster thing. So then we go on to the next one. And what we have here in four is when he wakes up, when the barbarian dude wakes up, he's being held kind of like Luke Skywalker in Hoth. There's this abominable snowman guy, tells him about the magical doorway. So then they show up. So then the other people on the ponies show up just in time to see the bad guy open this portal. This giant is there. The giant turns out is Battle Pug's owner. So this is kind of a mix on this cover because there's a monster, like a five-headed monster or whatever, that comes out. But then also the giant, who is the Battle Pug's owner, shows up. So Battle Pug is not just a giant dog for the sake of having a funny giant dog. It's a giant dog because he's from this parallel universe, and this giant is there, and the Snow Queen is going to give the dog back to the giant, so the giant will take him back through the portal and get rid of him, and then that's one less thing that she has to worry about with the Conan guy. She's going to kill the mom when the mom comes, because the giant is actually a little boy, so she's going to kill the mom. She's going to use whatever from the giant's world to kill everybody on this earth, and then go over to that world and take over that world, and then, like, continue on. She's just going to destroy all of the multiverse. So we have our big monster from another universe comes through. There's, like, a big fight. The ponies find out that that the little girl doesn't have her powers, so they go and run away. And, like, you can tell, like, I'm not real excited to recap this, because it's just, like, the story is just, it goes, like, it continues, but it's basic. There's not a lot to everything that's going on, and with the characters, they could do something with. Like, for instance, there's this seer, S-E-E-R, right? And she has these visions. And so at the beginning of every comic, well, I guess not every one, but most of them, she'll have some sort of vision. And then that vision appears later on in the comic, but it's, you know, a little different. You know, her visions have to be interpreted, whatever. And so you're kind of seeing what happens. But okay, it happens by the end of the comic, so it's not like it's leading up to something. It's not like it's really foreshadowing a whole lot, so there's really not a lot going on with that character. You have the character who can't die by growing old, so she has the armor on, so you would think, you know, at some point she might have to go through some sort of character thing where she takes off the armor and makes herself, normal to sacrifice herself or something, but I mean, it doesn't really feel like they're leading up to that, and it's not really a thing for something that's going to be funny. The pirate guy who ran the pirate place, he says scribbly. So like all the time, he just throws in scribbly. We're going to go get a scribbly dinner. And like, that's the whole joke with him. There's really nothing else. There's the little girl and she swears. So that's her whole gimmick. And the only character that they really give something to, in any way, shape or form is this assistant. So there's the lady in the armor, right? And she has this little assistant. And the little assistant follows her around, and they make a reference at some point that she is secretly in love with her female master.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, I don't... Okay, that's the one character you're going to give something to is that? But there's really nothing else going on here. The seer gets pulled through this portal. They destroy the key. They're trying to close this portal, get rid of the monsters and whatever. The giant gets sucked through, but it turns out he's actually a nice guy who loves his dog and his mom's a jerk and he was being used by the snow lady. So you kind of feel bad when he gets sucked back to his world, and doesn't get to take his battle pug with him. And so then, battle pug and the Commundian, they go through the portal, the two of them, to try to find the key to fix it, to bring back the seer lady. And so this kind of ends like the first part of the story, and the next one is going to continue. It shows them floating out in space. And that's the story. So... it's not the worst thing I've ever read, okay? I'll say that. I've read comics that are a lot worse. And the Putin, Russian, Trump thing at the beginning, it's dumb, but, whatever. You can throw that in there, who cares? But the rest of the humor just falls flat, like, all the time. As my daughter comes walking in, she can tell you that humor has to be funny.
No, it doesn't. So,
these millennials, there's got to be some sort of at least interesting transition or some sort of, so what's your point? I guess the point is I'm conflicted because the artwork is nice, but it's nothing special to look at. The story is serviceable, but it's really just going from point A to point B, and some random stuff happens along the way. The characters aren't necessarily interesting or relatable or engaging or, when it comes down to it, the only person that you really end up kind of feeling for is the giant, because it turns out he's a kid, even though he's, five stories tall or whatever, and the battle pug is just his dog, and he loves his dog, and he just a kid who wanted his dog back, and he gets separated from his dog again, so that sucks. So I feel bad for the giant kid, but that's really the only character in the entire thing that I think really elicits any sort of real emotional response, and the emotional response is not anything that's funny or amusing. It's just it kind of sucks. So I'm not a fan of this book. I'm not going to say it's the worst thing ever, but I'm not buying. I bought five. These are $4 a piece. Granted, I get, a discount because I used to work there and I still help them, sort the new stuff on Tuesday nights to go on sale Wednesday. So I didn't quite pay, full retail price. But I'm just, it's another one that's failed. It's another comic series out there on the market that just kind of exists, but I don't really see any great reason to buy it.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, I mean, I'm glad you agree, but that's gonna do it for Battle Pug. It's kind of a shame because it seemed like when you have a Conan guy riding a giant pug, it seems like there'd be a lot more humor. It seems like you would want the characters to be characters that you want to root for instead of just characters that exist. But yet that's all we got. So, you got anything that you want to add on that?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Then with that in mind, we are going to jump over and start talking about the new comics. So, new comic releases coming out this week from previewsworld.com and their Pop Culture Network, no relation. That's honestly about, I don't know, 8-9 years after we started using the name Pop Culture Network. They just decided to put Pop Culture Network on the thing. So, I don't know. We could probably, sue them or something, but who cares? We got Hit Girl. Don't read that anymore. Nope. Lucy Claire Redemption. No idea. Pretty Violent. No. I don't know a single person that actually reads that. I can't find anybody who actually... There may be people who read it and just don't admit to it, but I can't find anybody that actually admits to it. We've got Spawn. And again, it sells decently well. Nothing massive. I mean, they just did the issue 300, 301, made it the longest running independent comic of all time. Which, I mean, it's Image. Is Image, does that really count as independent anymore? Because they seem very, that's kind of like Fox Network calling themselves like the, I don't know, like the non-network. Like, we're not really a nationwide broadcasting network like those other guys, except they, at this point they are. But I don't know. Spawn is Spawn, but I still don't read it. Undiscovered Country, nope. Dark Horse Comics, Aliens vs. Predator, Thicker Than Blood. You know what? I did read issue one of this. Family on vacation, and they happen to be somewhere. They get aliens on their ship, and they land on a planet where the Predators are. And so that turns into the big thing. I ended up reading it. I was kind of hoping there'd be something cool. I always want there to be cool. Like the first, when Predator Comics and Alien Comics first came out, like when they started doing the alien stuff in Dark Horse Presents, and then they had the first couple series, and you're like, oh, okay, this is, kind of cool. This is interesting. And then Predator, like the first two, well, no, wait. No, the first one, which they ended up loosely adapting into Predator 2, that one was awesome, phenomenal, right? And then after that, they all just kind of fell apart. They did Aliens vs. Predator first in the comics, and that series was better than, of course, any of the movies, except I will give the movies a bit of a pass because they do have Lance Henriksen in them, and he's my, bro crush. But I don't know. The series, it's one of those things where, again, it doesn't really... the humans that are in it, you don't really care about. One of them, right away is an android. So if he dies, then who cares there? So I don't know. It's all wrong. Frozen, Dragon Age, Hellboy Winter Special 2019. This is one of those things. I love Mike Mignola artwork. I really do. And I've collected tons of stuff that he's done. I've got reprints of his books. I've got hardcover collections of his Dracula, Alien Salvation, the Hellboy in Hell, the first couple series, whatever that he did. But then when he backed off and other artists started coming in and doing all his work, and BPRD, which he gets credit for, I guess, helping develop the world, but he didn't write them and he didn't draw them. I don't really care. I don't. Like, Hellboy is a character. I don't really care about Hellboy, but I like Mike Mignola's artwork. The first two movies were, decent. They were... Actually, I liked them. I actually think I liked the second one maybe a little bit better. But, you know, as these comics go, he's used this pose like 9 billion times on different stuff, and then he just throws a little thing in the background, and then that's all he really does for this stuff anymore, and it kind of sucks. So I wish he did more. And you can see even here, he's not listed as one of the artists in the book, just as the guy who did the cover. So I don't know. It's weird. Skull Digger, Skeleton Boy, no. Steeple, no. Harrow County, no. Don't read any of those. Disney Comics, DuckTales, Dungeons and Dragons, no. I will say, I will give them credit, Dungeons and Dragons. They have these variant covers that are the character sheets. And I know in some of them they used to do, like, little game modules in the back with maybe a scenario, you know, that you could run with your friends that was based off something that happened in the comic. So that's pretty cool. And that's a neat way for them to tie, you know, the source back into the book. But, you know, I don't know. I don't get into Dungeons & Dragons anymore. I used to, but, you know, it's 4 or 5 hours long.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I don't have the time for it anymore like I used to. So, but anyway, I do give them credit for doing that stuff, for having that stuff in there. And I think that's an awesome, awesome, again, way to tie it together. Good stuff there. From Hellmaster Edition, how many times can they reprint that? Gears of War, Glow versus the Babyface, Marvel Action Avengers. Okay, no, I will. Later, let me jump back to that real quick. A lot of people have asked me about Glow. Why am I not reading Glow? That's because I don't watch the show. But weren't you in wrestling? Yeah. Weren't you into wrestling? Yeah. You know, you did wrestling stuff on the independent scene? Yeah, I did. So, you know, you don't watch Glow? And I was like, no, not really. And why not? I didn't really like it. I didn't like any, again, I didn't like any of the characters. I thought the characters were all kind of scummy, dirtbag characters, and they made horrible decisions, and the show kind of glossed it over, like, eh, it's no big deal. And if you knew what happened behind the scenes to a lot of people over the years, the way the show portrays it, I don't know. I don't want to get into it. But the show, I don't like the show. Napoleon Dynamite. Again, I don't know. I wanted to like this idea when they first announced it. I thought, hey, that could be fun. Kind of like the Saturday morning cartoon, you know, whatever. But the artwork, I don't know. I just look at this artwork and it's just, I can't bring myself to want to read this. You know? It's not cartoony like the comic. It's just, I don't know, kind of bad. So don't read that one. Rising Sun. Yeah, pass. Rom, Dire Wraiths. That's weird. 1969, two American astronauts become the first humans set foot on Earth's moon, but they found something inhuman waiting for them. That could be interesting. Okay, so Rom, in 1969? Okay, all right. So go back in time a little bit and do a Rom story? I can see that. That might, okay. I'll have to read that today. I don't think I've gotten, did I don't know if I put all the review comics for this week. Yeah, maybe I did. We get PDFs from most of the major publishers in order to read them, supposedly so we can read them in advance and review them before they come out, and as you can tell, that rarely ever happens. But nonetheless, I'll give this one a shot later today, take a look at it, see if it's anything interesting. All right. DC, Aquaman, no. Batman's Grave, no. Crisis on Infinite Earth Giant. Wait, what is classic reprints? 24 pages of new stories plus classic reprints. Okay, Death of Supergirl. Save or Sacrifice for Asha. Okay, the Superman. Oh, all right. So that might be some part of, what was it? Adventures of Superman, maybe? Lex Luthor from Another World. That might be interesting. I don't know. I used to read all the Giants. I bought all of them, and then they canceled them all and relaunched them, and I didn't care for a lot of the ones that they were making now, so I quit reading them, but that one, I might give that one a chance. Ooh, another facsimile edition. Batgirl, first appearance. Definitely going to buy that. Yep, that'll be good. Dollar Comics, Batman Adventures 12. Oh, Harley Quinn's first comic book. I don't care about Harley Quinn, so no. Flash. Now, Flash I do like. Flash continues to be a really good series. Again, it's almost impossible for a new reader to jump in on this because it builds so much. But Joshua Williamson, he's really been building. If you go back to issue one and just read the entire run, because he builds and builds and builds and builds and builds, and it's good. It is really good. Hard for new readers, but good. Flash forward. I kind of flipped through some of this. This is basically Tom King did Heroes in Crisis and made Wally the murderer. Spoiler, sorry. It wasn't good.
Nope.
No, it just was not good. So, along comes Scott Lobdell, and Scott Lobdell decides that he's going to redeem Wally West. And so the idea is that Wally West, having been pulled out of the Speed Force, or pulled out of the universe and trapped in the Speed Force, untethered him, and because he's from a different universe, he's having problems adjusting, and the Speed Force is weird with him, whatever. And so basically, it's trying to redeem the character in a way that says basically he's not responsible for all the deaths and stuff that he did in Heroes in Crisis, because Heroes in Crisis is a terrible story, so it's going to try to undo the harm that was done in that series. So I didn't really care for the first one a whole lot because I wasn't really sure where it was going. But now that I can see where it's going, I'm a little more excited for it, enjoying it more. So this is one that definitely look forward to there as far as that stuff goes. Let's see here. We got Freedom Fighters, 12 of 12. Freedom Fighters is fun. I like Freedom Fighters a lot. Freedom Fighters is cool, because they do some cool things. So you might ask yourself, what's so cool about Freedom Fighters? And one of the cool things is, and let me know if you think this is cool. Do you think this is cool? So World War II, the Nazis actually won. They took over America, so the resistance has been building. The superheroes are trying to reform and get the people to fight back. So Hitler the Third actually kills Hitler the Second, because Hitler the Second sucks as being the emperor, and Hitler the Third is a very dark, horrible, mean guy. And so in order to stop everything that's going on, it looks like Hitler the Third is going to destroy the whole world, destroy everything. And so because of that, they have to fight against Hitler the Third and bring up this great rebellion. I mean, does that sound like it could be fun?
Yeah, I hear you.
So it's a good book. I enjoy it quite a bit. I wouldn't say it's like the best out there or anything like that, but it is enjoyable. It's a lot of fun. I definitely recommend it. It's 12 issue maxi series. I'd recommend going back, reading the whole thing. It's definitely worth your time. Like I said, I didn't expect to enjoy it. Again, it's one of those I bought because I've been not buying so many things. And now that picking up some random stuff to just trying to find more stuff to read, I found that that one was really enjoyable. He-Man, the Masters of the Multiverse. This has been okay. It's basically trying to tie together all the different versions of He-Man from the mini-comics, from the mobile tap game, from the classics line of figures, from the old movie, from the New Adventures cartoon. It's interesting. It's not the greatest thing. It jumps around a lot. It doesn't really do a whole lot to establish who some of these characters are. If you're not really big into the lore of Masters of the Universe and He-Man, you might not really care a whole lot about some of this stuff. But, it's interesting for the multiverse aspect of it, and to see some of those characters come together. Justice League Odyssey, no. Legion of Superheroes, no. Lolo Woods, no. Lucifer, no. Nightwing, no. Questions. The Deaths of Vic Sage. This is interesting. One, I hate the size. I just hate these oversized issues. But the book is weird. It plays with this idea that the Question is more than just the character that we know from the DC Universe, that there's some sort of history to the character that goes through time. Vic Sage himself has been traveling through time with these different realities and being reborn and whatever, kind of like a Hawkman with the stuff going on with Hawkman. So, I mean, I guess that, you know, it's something different to go along with the character, which is, I don't know, in some ways it's kind of a shame because I always liked the character just as he was. I don't know that you need to add like a whole kind of supernatural element to it, but they did and it's fine. You know, whatever. Ruby, whatever. Superman's pal, Jimmy Olsen, no. Teen Titans, no. Okay, so that's it. So DC, I mean, so far, what are we looking at? We're looking at, I'll read the ROM just to see if it's any good. We've got The Crisis, I'll try. Flash Forward, Freedom Fighters, He-Man. Okay, Question. We got a fair amount of books so far. That's kind of cool. It's going to Marvel. Avengers, no. Incredible. Now, Avengers, is this the Savage? No. Who? What? What is? Okay, I don't know what's going on with the characters on this cover, but I can tell you right now. Star Brand Reborn. Oh, wow. Well, that's, okay, gonna pass on this. I do think this is the one that started as Savage Avengers, right? I don't know. Anyway, pass. Incredible Hulk 180 facsimile. Ooh, yeah. First appearance of Wolverine. Back when Wolverine, I don't know if you guys knew this. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But the original idea with Wolverine is that he was a Wolverine. And the Wolverine was turned into a human-like creature that would fight for the Canadian government. So instead of it being a guy who was given claws and took the name Wolverine, it was a Wolverine that was turned into a guy. Does that seem like a better idea?
Nope.
No, I didn't think so either. That's one of those retcons that went the right way, you know? It's good that they changed that. But nonetheless, it's still fun to see that appearance there. Iron Man 2020. Dan Slott's writing it, so I'm not reading that. Let's see. What else we got here? I mean, a lot of variants there. Jessica Jones. So not that one. Ravencroft. Okay, so these are reprints. What is Ravencroft? Marvel Tales Anthology, fan favorite characters. So instead of Arkham Asylum. Okay, yeah. So Spectacular Spider-Man 178. Spider-Man Unlimited number 1 of Maximum Carnage. Amazing Spider-Man 2015. They're reprinting that here? No, come on. You're reprinting a book from just a couple years ago in the Marvel Tales. So Marvel Tales now have jumped the shark. They're doing, start out cool, yeah. And then like, what? It's okay. And then, no, terrible. So Marvel Tales Ravencroft, not that, though. I think that's the first of the Marvel Tales I'm not buying there. Black Widow movie prelude, meh. Marvel Spider-Man Black Cat. Now, my son does get these, the Spider-Man Game Reverse ones, because he does have that game on PlayStation and enjoyed it quite a bit. I haven't had a chance to play it at all. Maybe I will someday, I don't know. But nonetheless, he's been getting the other ones, the Velocity and City of War, so he may be giving that one. I'll ask him later, see if he wants to read that one. Revenge of Cosmic Ghost Rider, meh. Ruins of Ravencroft Sabretooth. What is this cover? That looks awful. It says Sabretooth, but you have this horrible looking Wolverine. I don't know what is up with the cover. If you're listening to the audio version of this on iTunes or SoundCloud or Podbean or the Russian website or any of those places, you need to look up the cover for Ruins of Ravencroft Sabretooth number 1, because it's not Sabretooth, it's Wolverine, and it looks terrible. Unless Sabretooth is now dressed like Wolverine. I don't know. Then they have a second cover with Sabretooth on it, and that looks good. The variant cover from Miko I don't know how to say that. Doesn't matter. That looks like a good cover. That's the cover. That should have been the main cover, because that makes sense, and it looks good. The other cover was a mistake. Runaways, no. True Believers, Spider-Woman to get Gypsy Moth. The first appearance. Why would you reprint? I mean, I'll buy it. 1978. I'll definitely buy that reprint. But why do you want? Is Gypsy Moth reappearing somewhere in the Marvel Universe? Tales of Suspense for Mandarin. Okay, that's cool. Tales of Suspense from 1959. Oh, 50 and 56. Oh, that's cool. So definitely. Oh, I think it was backup material, right? So they back when they had a lot more pages in there. So you had a main story and a second story. So these are probably the two backups that feature the Mandarin from those books. Nonetheless, though, I will buy those. Okay, Valkyrie Jane Foster. We discussed this book because this is the book when the first issue came out. Marvel gave away tons of extra copies. If you ordered 10, you got 10 free copies. You ordered 20, you got 20 free copies. If you ordered 50, you got 50 free copies. Second issue, you got half. So if you ordered 10, you got 5. If you ordered 50, you got 25 extra. And on the third one, again, it was another, I think it was, again, half for free. With issue 4, it was like another 25% or something like that. I mean, they just kept throwing free copies out there because they wanted it to look like it was selling a lot better than it was. And the sales numbers, they plummeted, even with free copies. Even when you add in the number of free copies they were giving away. When an extra, you know, half on issue 2, an extra quarter on issue 3, they were still low, low numbers. This book has not done well at all. And now it looks like maybe this is the end of it. Valkyrie teams up with the medics to save death? Oh, maybe not. Maybe this isn't the end. I don't know. Maybe it will be the end. I don't know. It should be the end because this book sells like hot garbage. Then we get Venom the End, which is what's supposed to be Venom at some point in the future when he dies. Interesting, though, they have DNA, was that Molecule Man or something? I don't know. So there is that. So Marvel this week, reprint, I guess the game one for my son, reprint, that's it. I'm just buying some reprints for myself and one for my son, and none of the new books this week from Marvel. Anything for me. All right, Dynamite. We got Betty Page, Vampirella Red, Sonya. Oh, we got a James Bond number 2. James Bond from a series that nobody buys. This James Bond, they started out okay and then just fell off a cliff. Boy, that was not great. Boom Studios, Hellmouth for you Buffy and Angel fans, Folklords, Ghosted in L.A., Go-Go Power Rangers, and they've got a Dr. Dre-inspired cover. Is that supposed to be Tommy? Or is that Kimberly? It's wearing a white shirt, so I guess it's Tommy, but that's okay. And then we've got this variant. What is this? Oh, it's Bulk from Bulk and Skull. He gets a cover B. Huh. Well, if you've ever wanted a cover that focused on a painting of Bulk from Bulk and Skull from Power Rangers, that's going to be the one for you. And this one looks like a computer screen. Is that what that is? It is. It looks like and again, that's Bulk, but a not very well drawn version. So, okay, well. There you go with that. Jim Henson's Dark Crystal, Red Mother. So nothing in Boom. Nothing in Boom at all. Adventures of Mr. Crypt and Baron Rat. This is going to be for my daughter, but to be honest, I will read this too. This is from Alterna. I really like Mr. Crypt. I think he's a fun character. Baron Rat is okay. He's like a Saturday morning cartoon character. It's fun stuff. It's good all ages stuff from Alterna. $1.50 on newsprint. It's fun. It's definitely one of the good ones. Blood Realm, I gave up on this one. I tried reading it. Read all the first series, read part of the second series, and I ended up just dropping it. It's one of those that tries to be horror and supernatural and tries to get surreal, but it just gets to the point where stuff just doesn't make sense, and things just happen, and it's like, okay, I guess, whatever. Mighty Mascots, my son did not like this one. I don't know why. I got him the first issue and he didn't like it, so we stopped buying it, which is a shame. I thought it would be a fun one to read, but he didn't care for it. The new Bloodshot, Psycho KO, which again, I've got a bunch of issues of 1, 2, and 3 of Volume 1 of this, and never read them, so I should probably read them at some point. Femalian. What is Femalian? Oh, this is the Full Moon. Right. Full Moon Entertainment. So they're online. Now, when they get into Trancers or Doll Man, like, I'll be there for that stuff. But kind of hitting the low end of the barrel of Full Moon Entertainment with some of this stuff. I'm surprised Dynamite's not putting that out. We got, let's see here. Gods and Gears. I don't think I got this one from Alterna. No, I didn't. I let that one go. That one just, I don't know. Alterna, when they first started, had a bunch of great stuff, but eh. In case you missed it, here's a reprint with Mr. Crypt. So he's a fun character. Again, if you haven't read any of those, you can grab one of these. Not only 99 cents. Your local shop may not actually have it in stock, but ask them to order it, or you can order it directly through Alterna. Again, especially if you've got kids who are anywhere between 8 and 13, it's a good thing in there. Like, not for little tiny kids, although, I mean, there's nothing wrong. Little tiny kids would probably be fine with it, but, it just kind of hits that age spot where a lot of comics kind of skip over. Infinity 8, they don't have a cover for. It came out on a Wednesday. Pass on that one. Life is Strange. Machine Girl. Midnight Mystery. Ooh, I like Midnight Mystery. Okay, this is going to be cool. I like this one. I like the art. I like the story. I think this is the final, number 4 of a 4-issue limited series. This is good. This one is good. Detective who goes after supernatural stuff and gets caught up in it. Definitely good time. Midnight Vista, no. Niobe, no. Over the Ropes. Over the Ropes is good. Over the Ropes is really, really good. It's independent wrestling. As someone, again, briefly mentioned this earlier, but as someone who did independent wrestling, who traveled and worked shows, I was a manager, I wasn't a wrestler, I'll just throw that out there. So before anybody wonders what I look like without my shirt on, didn't take my shirt off, I was the Bobby Heenan, Captain Lou type guy running around ringside. Nonetheless, I found Over the Ropes to be really, really good. I think it really did a great job of what it was like, what it's like in the wrestling community, what it's like being an independent guy, real stuff, double crosses, for real, legit shoot fights, things happen from time to time. All of that is real. It's a lot of fun, and it seems like the type of thing that will someday get adapted. Spike Jones or, somebody is going to put this together into a movie. It is definitely worth the read. If you've had any interest in wrestling, if you've ever been a part of wrestling in any way, if you've ever gone to local indie shows and just seen the guys from your hometown who do wrestling, if you've ever gone to an ROH or, AEW, and technically it's a lot of those indie guys that they have, working there. It's fun. It's definitely some good stuff. And even Dirt, you know about some of that stuff having to do with wrestling because, you know, you're all about it. I get that. So, what did you think of this book?
I mean, it's whatever.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess that's an opinion. So, okay. That's yours. Rye, I don't know anybody reading, again, Valiant. I don't know anybody reading Valiant stuff. And even with, Bloodshot relaunching with the new, there's a movie coming with, was it Vin Diesel, playing Bloodshot. But Bloodshot was good when Jeff Lemire was doing it. Not so much now. It lost a lot of the focus and the fun and interesting, whatever. So Rye, okay. Rick and Morty, they also have a Dungeons and Dragons cover for that. So that's a thing, but not a huge fan of Rick and Morty, so sorry, I have standards. Robin Hood, no. Rocky and Bullwinkle, my daughter loves these. She loves the classic comics. She loves all these old ones, these reprints. Definitely will be getting that one. That and Pink Panther and Casper and all that stuff that they've been reprinting. She loves all that stuff. Second Coming, Sherlock, Strangelands, Vamp. We get a lot of Warrior Nun, Dora. Okay. There's a lot of covers here that they're not showing because they do a lot of the naughty covers. Wicked Righteous. I tried to get into this one. Really couldn't. It's a shame. I like the stuff like 13, but Wicked Righteous, it I don't know. It's the kids and the end of the world, and I don't know. Didn't do it for me. So, man, it's so weird to look at how many comics I'm not buying. How many things at one point that I may have had been excited for, but then you actually read them, and they're not as good as you hoped. Bendis, oh my gosh. Please retire. Please. Please retire. All right. Well, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for the show. Thanks for coming along, Dirt, for the ride. I'm glad you were here. Is there anything you need to plug? Are you going to be on any upcoming other podcasts or anything that you want to let the people know about?
No.
Okay. All right. I enjoy not doing things, I guess. That's going to do it for me, guys. Thanks for watching. Again, I'm not going to ask you to like and subscribe. I'm not going to ask you to share. I'm not going to ask you to hit that bell. I'm not going to ask you to join my Patreon, which I don't even have. I don't have a Discord server. None of that stuff. All I want you to do is to remember this one thing.
You're watching the best looking guy on the internet.